Man Show, a special guest, the guy with this football camp since I was a young man at Tennessee State University, the one and only coach, Johnny Cole, former TSU offensive coordinator, and his brother was LC Cole, 1999 Tigers, the best teams I've seen in my lifetime at TSU. Coach Cole, good to talk to you and see you again. How's life, man?
Man, life is good for me, coach, man. I got two kids. My son just graduated, and he's at Texas Southern right now, so that makes my third child that don't follow my footsteps and went to my alma mater. And, I look forward for him to have a great year over there at Texas Southern. He's just going to be a regular student, and I'm just glad he's moving on with his life. And, you know, now I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, you know, working for the school district. I'm the facility manager over athletics, and just enjoying myself during this time right now.
I hear that, coach, and I know, like I said, you are coaching in your blood. I've seen that you're passed on the field doing football camps. I was a young man at Tennessee State, and those were the glory days for me, coach. As a young man, my mother graduated Tennessee State, so I was always going to TSU Tiger from day one, man. And so seeing you guys do that, man, and those teams you all had, man, being the only – Black school to win a predominantly white conference championship the way you and your brothers did, man, is like still has not been matched to this day. So just talk about that, man, and how accomplishment that was for you and your brother, man, during those years back in the day there.
Well, you know, one of the things is just the myth that white coaches coach better than black coaches. And we proved that. And not only did we win it one time in 98, we won it in 99 as well and finished number one team in the country. You know, it's about having a system, and we have a systematic way of doing things. You know, and Tennessee State was coming off, I think, 9 losing seasons in 10 years. And, you know, traditionally they were strong. But, of course, things change, you know, when they got in the conference. You know, and we were able to, you know, my brother graduated from the University of Nebraska, and I graduated from Texas Southern. So it was a great mix. You know, he was a defensive guy. I was an offensive guy. And one thing that when we went and go into programs like that, and if you looked at our career, we always taking over these type programs, you know, you got to have a system in place to get things done. You just can't come in there and think it's X's and O's. And that's why so many coaches fail when they go. You don't come in and knock the whole ship down. Maybe you got a great engine and maybe you need to sand the outside, you know what I mean, to improve that. But what happens with these coaches, sometimes they come in as a coach with, oh, I know everything. I got everything done. I'm going to tear this down and I'm going to build up. Well, you know what I know now these days, it's okay. I'm back.
Are you good, coach? Keep on going, man. Yeah, you're good.
And you know, these days it's called a microwave. It's what have you done for me lately? And in your third year coming into a program, if you're not on the winning side, you know, or right there 500 above, you're not improving, you know. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that we believe in. So we changed the whole makeup, the face of the whole program without tearing it all down.
No doubt. And it was fun to watch that run, man. Hearing Howard Gentry on the radio with Albert Dawson and those guys, man, the excitement of the fans in the hole in that 98 year to 99, going down to Adelphia Coliseum when it was opened up. So just talk about that, how fun it was. Also having the Titans actually on campus doing training camp. And in some cases, you all look bigger than some of that the Titan players were back in the day, man.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said I can remember a game when we were playing Eastern Kentucky. And, of course, we're the only Tennessee State football team, I think. And if we not only maybe one or two other times to beat Eastern Kentucky. Well, the first year we played them, they downed the ball at the 3-yard line. You know, they just didn't want to score no more on us. But we knew that we were moving a forward with our program. We knew we were in great shape. We knew that we had to get out and recruit better. You know, and by that third year came, you know, we were down there in Eastern Kentucky, and we were wearing them out. And it really got ugly. They were throwing stuff at our kids. They were calling out our kids' name. You know, the table had turned. You know, the coaches didn't really want to shake our hand after the game. You know, and it was a funny situation with me. You know, again, I remember, you know, when the first year we played them, they would hit our players, and their helmets would come off. You know, so you know, we knew we had to get strong in the weight room. We knew we had to recruit better, and we were able to do that and be successful.
And Coach, you know what's crazy, Coach Cole, is that I really don't hear much about those teams. You know, as I told you, I'm a graduate of Tennessee State. 09, undergrad, 11, 2011, my master's degree. That team is really, it's not mentioned. Like, those days are not even brought up. It's like, it's forgotten. And I feel like it's been 22 years now. I mean, there should be some type of, you know, recognition of that team and what they accomplished. And they still the only black school, you and your brother, to, you know, win a predominantly white conference.
Well, let me say this to you, too. We came back in 2018 and 2019 on our own accord. You know, one year they gave us some T-shirts, but nobody really showed up at the and they made it, gave us some food. But that was it. Nobody really showed up. You know, the head coach never came and talked to the players, never came and talked to the coaches. You know, the next year was even worse than that. You know, it wasn't even a pat on the back. You know, we didn't get an opportunity to meet the president or none of that. So they waited till the game and did some things at halftime. But, you know, I just didn't think they honored us as special as they could have, being that we're the only team that win a conference championship in the school's history. And if you need to know anything about Tennessee State, it's got a great football history.
Yes.
You know, and for some reason, you know, me being a part of the 98, 99, 96, 97, 99, I don't feel appreciated. And talking with the other coaches and the other players, they all feel the same way.
Most definitely. And, you know, I told you off the air, Coach, you know, I've been at TSU since I was 2 years old with my mother in arms in the library, just working on her degree. So that's been my home since day one, you know. Meeting Frankie Allen, Anthony Mason, Carlos Rogers, all those guys, man. Johnny Ballpark, friends who I met. I was a young dude. Now I see what he's doing now. So it's like it's a family out there, man. But I feel like sometimes the family does not show love to everybody inside the family. And I think that's sad that you all were treated the way you're treated. I feel like it should be more said about that team. Should be a banner hung up at Nissan or at the Hole or something to recognize those two years of the Cole regime, you would have been OC, scored all them points, man.
Well, for some reason, you know, the 4 years were there, you know, we never felt welcome there for some reason. And it wasn't from the fans and from the alumni, it was from the inside, you know. And it seems like, you know, losers breed losers, you know. And, you know, we had to fight against, at that time, you know, the inside of the athletic department, which we shouldn't have. You know, I never seen anybody that rushed to the NCAA to try to get rid of their winning coach. You know what I'm saying? And the violations they were talking about, you know, wasn't nothing major. You know, it was a slap on the wrist. And some of it was definitely out of our hands, but I just never felt from the inside, not the fans, not the alumni, that we wasn't accepted, you know. So we were always felt like we were climbing uphill. We always felt like we had something to prove.
No doubt. I'm asking you, how cool was it to be able to coach with your brother? I know for me, I think it'd be fun to be able to do a radio show with my brother, but I know he's not radio savvy, but see, you and him both are football guys. How fun was it to be able to coach with your brother all those years, man?
Well, man, I loved it. I'm the youngest of nine boys.
Okay.
And LC is number four, and I'm number nine, so we got a lot. So LC was my idol. You know, he played at the University of Nebraska. He was All-American, All-State in high school and basketball and football. So he was like my idol, as well as all my other eight brothers. You know, they all always watched out for me and always made sure that I was doing the right thing and pretty much were raised by them. You know, of course, my dad had to work a lot and my mom was around as well. You know, they both stayed together. So I come from a solid background. So my idea was when my brother bought, I already know it was pressure on him for doing that, you know, and I wanted him to do well. You know, as a matter of fact, I had an opportunity to leave and didn't, and stayed with him. Matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, Tennessee State, I had the Tennessee State job when he left to go to Alabama for about 3 days. And then I just decided, no, this ain't a place for me. They really never made me feel welcome. Even though I talked with Dr. Heffler at the time, who offered me the job, I left and went on with LC over at Alabama State. You know, a lot of people don't know that, you know, but I had a great time. It was a pleasure, you know what I mean? And then, you know, of course, when I outdone him, when the offense showed up every weekend and he was the defense guy, you know, so I got a chance to tease him a little bit. So I told him, you ain't got to know football to play in Nebraska. Yeah, I went to old HBCU Texas Southern. I know just as much as football as you.
I hear that, coaches. It's, you know, it's funny. Let me ask you this, man. At what point in your career playing ball did you say to yourself, I want to get into coaching? I know that, you know, it's always an interesting thing when guys decide to hang up the cleats to get into coaching or rather do something else.
Man, I'll be honest, Coach. I got an undergrad in engineering, civil engineering, and my master's in education. And it just happened, you know, because, see, when I was young, and you got eight brothers playing football. I mean, they play in middle school all the way up to high school. So you around football all your life. I've been a trainer. I've been an equipment man. You know, I've learned how to tape ankles. You know, back in them days, you know, I used to travel with, like, in the seventh, eighth grade with the high school football team because everybody knew us. You know what I mean? I sat with coaches, you know, all my life. You know what I'm saying? So when I started playing myself, you know, I've always was the advanced guy because I knew the game. I wasn't a big guy. I mean, I played at Texas Southern, started at quarterback at 5'10", you know, 150 soaking wet. You know what I mean? But my mind and the knowledge of the game, you know, compensated for the size that I didn't have. You know what I mean? So I really didn't. And when I got through playing, I had a coach named Lionel Taylor. You know, Lionel Taylor played in the pros, coached at the Pittsburgh Steelers during those Super Bowl years, coached at the Rams when they met him in the Rams. So he taught me so much about the game, he ended up hiring me as soon as I graduated. And then my brother used to come down because he used to recruit the Houston area. So then I used to jump in the car with him and ride around. And of course, meeting coaches from Houston, meeting coaches from Dallas. So I kind of was thrust into coaching. You know what I mean? And, you know, I love it. I can't, but I think that's contributed to my success.
Most definitely. And how fun was it, those rivalries with Prairie View down back in the day, man, and the Van Third Ward, man, how cool it is to have Houston right down the street from you guys, man, and just the whole vibe of Third Ward and playing those, your rivals, the Panthers up there in Prairie View there.
Man, when I came to Texas Southern, they told us that's one school we don't lose to in nothing. And I had the ability to play basketball and football for Texas Southern. So that was one of our things. We don't lose to Prairie View. You know what I mean? That was like Michigan and Ohio State, Alabama and Auburn. You know what I mean? I don't know if the rivalry is like that now. But, man, I had some great times at Texas Southern. We weren't good. And we've never had great teams at Texas Southern, you know, until my years there, the 2009 and 10 team. But we've always had great players, you know, and, you know, being in the city, everybody always asks why we don't win. Well, I won there. I know how to win there, you know, and you can win there. But you got to have the right people in place. You know what I mean? You got to have the right support. So, during them days, you know, traveling – down Highway 10 and 20 and 55 going to Southern and Alabama State and Jackson State, man, I had a great time. I wouldn't trade that for nothing. Them bus rides was good for me.
No doubt. And I know it was also fun. And, you know, I feel like this should come back, Coach, the Atlanta Classic. Seeing Tennessee State play FAMU in the Georgia Dome, which is literally 2 miles from where I grew up at. That was great exposure for both schools. And I think that classic game should come back to Atlanta, TSU versus FAMU. It was always a good game. Same with Alabama, they play Alabama State and Alabama A&M. I feel like those black college HBCU classics are good for exposure for the school and getting kids and black kids and say, oh, it's something I can go to that school too and get them engaged that way to use that as a marketing tool to get guys, them to go get educated. Because we need to get more black kids HBCU schools to get that education, be successful down the road and get back to our community that way, Coach.
Well, let me say this, and this is what happened. What happens is when you bring people from the outside to run your schools, you know, we need black promoters to promote games, black successful. You know, you got Al Wash up here that's been promoting the Grambling and Prairie View game because he knows the tradition. When we go and start getting these people from the outside, then it turns into money and then they lose the fabric of what it's all about. It's about two black schools come together and playing the patriotry around it, the bands, you know, the meaning of the game. We got away from that. Alabama State and Tuskegee, one of the oldest classic games, got into a money war about the game and forgot the importance of it. Now they might have 5,000-10,000 fans. You went from making 200,000-300,000 to maybe 75,000 because somebody from the outside that don't understand the tradition and the power and don't want to give up 3 or 4 nickels have destroyed these games, and it's been destroying black college football, you know, and that hurts us. I played in the Atlantic Classic against Florida A&M. Great game. I mean, you could feel the intensity in the place. We packed up everywhere when I was at Tennessee State. We had 44,000 at a homecoming game. That's unheard of in 1AA programs. We played in the Indianapolis Circle City Classic. You know, they don't play up there anymore. You know what I mean? They bring team from Central State, which is a very small school. You know, we've been able to let people come from the outside and destroy these traditions that should never be destroyed.
Yes. And this Saturday, we have the Swag Miac Challenge in Atlanta at the Atlanta Braves Old Stadium Turner Field. We got Alcorn playing North Carolina Central. It's still not the same as having FAMU and TSU in Atlanta, because from Tennessee and the Florida people coming to Georgia Dome, then that could be Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I feel like it would pack that place out because that classic was fun. That whole weekend was fun. And being able to be a young man and being a part of those festivities as a young kid, it furthermore submitted me going to Tennessee State because I saw it in my face once a year during that weekend, the classic, and when I'm up there with my mother in the summertime.
Yeah, you talking about, you sound like you traditional, and that's what it used to be about. You know, one thing, you know, people talk about HBCUs, why blacks don't give back, why we don't give back. Well, first of all, you know, we never been taught to be patriotic. We were brought and threatened and forced on this in this country, first of all. Second of all, people give money to people. They don't give money to buildings. So if I don't know you on campus, if I don't know what's going on, if I come on that campus and don't know anybody, you know what I mean? If I go to be successful and I look back that I want to get money, you don't get a call back or you be disrespected. Just like you just been telling me, man, I got 2 degrees from Tennessee State. My mother got degrees. But then you go on campus and you're not welcome because nobody on campus knows you or know anything about you, you know, that hurts, you know, and then you don't do right by the money. Then, you know, something drastic happens on campus. You know, those things hurt the brand of these universities. And I believe, and I'm a firm believer, and I stand behind it, that you got to hire some of your own qualified. I'm not just saying giving out jobs, qualified people. Yes. On your own. And some of those people that you hire have to have been somewhere else to learn, you know, new things and new ways how to do things. You know what I mean? I had to leave Texas Southern to really bite down into learning about the game and learning what's important on running a football program. I couldn't have just learned that there. I had to get away to come back. Do you understand? I'm in 80 years of football, I'm the only coach in Texas Southern history to win a conference championship outright. And I'm a graduate, and I'm not there no more. Something's wrong with that picture. You know what I'm saying? Something's wrong with that picture. You know? So, you know, again, I know this ain't about me and my program or what, you know, I take my 50%, you know, of whatever happened, you know, but my thing is, again, I don't think it ever should have reached the level that it reached. you know, but I went in charge anyway. But you see where we are now. You know, we've won, only won two games since 2016, and we only won five games since then as well. And we ain't won a game in 2 years. So that's what happens, man, when you don't do right by people.
Exactly. That's the thing about this business. In my business, sports media business, and you know, coaching on your end, it's always, you don't really know what happens unless you're really in the trenches, talk to the people directly, because they're going to put a narrative out there. You know, like I've said this story before, Coach, you know, I buried my mother March 29th. I was fired on April the 2nd.
Wow.
But it wasn't. But the release said that it was because of differences. Now, I told you to spend the last week with my mom was with my mother.
Right.
She was dying of cancer, right?
Right, right.
I told you to spend the last week with my mother. Yes, I took a leave of absence. But right. They made us, what difference is now, it's because I told you to be with my mother. I could have sued them for it, but I was already broken enough.
Right.
That I didn't. Right. They didn't matter to me, you know.
Right, right.
That's what I'm talking about doing it, but it took that happening for me to learn it. That never again. Right. It forced me to become independent even more in my media quest. That I wouldn't be beholden to a company anymore. That right. experience right. when after burying my mother, that I come back, I'm fired. Really?
Right, right.
So that's what
right.
I'm doing people right. So. The experience that we had has been negative for us, but made us stronger. We're still here doing things. We're still here making impact on people. You know, so like Puff Day said, can anybody hold me down? I'm going to keep on moving. That's what I'm doing.
That's right.
That's what we're doing. We keep it on moving.
That's right. That's right. That's right. No, ain't no question, man. You know, tough times don't last forever. And the true character of a man is when integrity, when dissension stays in, man, when it sets in. You know, true character of a man, when things go bad, you'll see who the man is. You know what I'm saying? And I've seen that. I've seen that a lot. I've seen some people that I thought was really in my corner wasn't in my corner. You know what I'm saying? So, man, it's all a part of life. The man upstairs, he got the role for you. You just got to believe in that and keep the faith in that. And you know, things going to turn out good for you.
Most definitely. And Coach McHugh's man, when you come to Atlanta to recruit or whatever, what's your favorite spots to eat here, man, when you come to town, man?
Well, you know, I used to go over to Gladys Knight spot. I don't know if they still have that spot.
I was gone. You know,
wow. Man, you know, I go down to the underground and try to do the tourist thing as well, you know. But you know, I'm just a regular guy, kind of guy when I come to Atlanta. You know, just try to enjoy the scenery. You know, it's pretty good. And you know, I got a brother there for Parks High School. You know, he's a super women's coach, girls coach in high school. Matter of fact, he won a state championship last year, and this year he went back to the state and lost in the game. So I get a chance to go back there and eat his wife's cooking as well.
No doubt. Well, Coach Cole, thank you for your time. But hey, Coach Cole, do this again real soon. When you come to town, see your brother, you got my number, let me know. We'll definitely link up to see you in the first again. I ain't saw you since I was a young man, man.
Yeah, see, man, I'll tell you, I would love to come on and you know, talk some of that swag, NEAC football with you, you know, a little plug. You know, I would love it. Like,
oh, yeah, we can do that, Coach.
I'm going to HBCU game. This weekend, I'm going to go up there, and then, you know, I'm going to try to keep up with the SWAC games, Black College games.
No doubt. We'll do it, make it happen, Coach Cole. Thank you for your time, brother. And I can say it was fun to catch up with you again. So I was going to see somebody I looked up to when I was a young man doing great like yourself, man.
Appreciate it, man. And I'm going to send one out to Tennessee State. Go Tigers!
No doubt. Folks, that's Johnny Cole and the Boss Man Show.
All right. Take care.